Hi, this is Father Bill W. here in Austin, Texas, and I would like to welcome you to the podcast. I am an Episcopal priest in long-term recovery, coming up on 48 years at the end of this month. So kind of a very happy time and a grateful time for me as well. A couple of short announcements before we get into this particular episode. First thing I wanted to let you know is we are doing a newsletter. And if you are not already receiving a copy of that newsletter, if you just drop me a line and just let me know that, I would be happy to get you onto our newsletter list. And it'll keep you posted on upcoming events and stories and things that are happening vis-a-vis two-way prayer. So you can write me at twowayprayer@gmail.com. Second announcement is regarding our workshops on the subject of two-way prayer. They've been proving really, really popular. So we had almost 500 people on the last workshop that we did on Zoom. And we've decided that going forward in the new year, starting on the second Saturday of each month, January through June, and we may extend it through the end of the year, but for those 6 months, on the second Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time, we will be repeating that workshop live. And so if you haven't joined one of our two-way prayer Zoom workshops, hope you'll do it. If you have, please encourage friends or sponsees or other people in 12-step recovery to check it out. So we're growing those and having a really good time meeting people as they share their two-way prayers and learn the process. Final request is we are revising our two-way prayer website and want to make it a bit more interactive. And we're doing adding some films and things of that nature. And what I'd like to do is have a group of folks, maybe 10 or 12, people who are doing two-way prayer, have been practicing it for a while, and that it's really made a huge difference in your life. We'd like to just get a group like 10, 15 people of those together. And we're going to do it on a Saturday morning on the 26th of December. If you're in the UK, that is Boxing Day. So there's absolutely nothing going on anyway. I spent a Boxing Day in the UK once and not much happening. So on the 26th, on a Saturday, if you're free and would like to join us, so we'll probably meet for about 45 minutes. If you'll just send me an email at twowayprayer@gmail.com, I'll send you the particulars. Particularly like to have people under the age of 40. That's physical age, not sobriety age. But because we want to make, you know, we want to really reach out to younger people who are out there and struggling with prayer and meditation. And let them know that there is an exciting way that you can approach this thing. So if you've had some experience with it and you want to help out, please drop me a line and I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I can. The series that we're doing right now is on spirituality and religion. Lots of people in the program will say, I am spiritual, but I'm not religious, you know, really quick to add that. And so we want to do a series on that subject, how people come at that that recognition of it, you know, how they integrate it into their program. I understand the new edition of the Big Book is supposed to have one of the stories is by an atheist. So I think that's actually a very good thing. I mean, this door that we have to spirituality, it's got to be as wide open as possible. So the next series we'll be covering people from the Jewish tradition, Islam. I'd like to get a Buddhist recorded. And what I'm looking for there is how do people use their religion or no religion when it comes to working a very spiritual program. So looking forward to this series and hope you enjoy it. Our guest today is Kim. She is coming to us from Australia, from Brisbane, Australia. She works in a nature preserve, so if you hear some exotic sounds in the background, just kind of settle down, put your pith helmet on, and off we go. So let's get started. Kim, I want to welcome you to the podcast, and thank you for emailing me. We did a series on psychic changes. That was our last series, and you responded. And you said you had one of those puppies.
I did.
Yes, I think it was back in 2003. Is that correct?
Yeah, January 2003.
And you heard a voice inside.
I did. I heard a voice.
You had a conversation, right?
Yeah, so a complete conversation.
What was going on? Tell us what was going on and what came of that.
So I'd been going to AA for about 2 months and, you know, I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't stay sober. And I was just really sort of at the end of my rope, feeling very despondent about the whole process. And I'd really kind of thrown my hands in the air, I suppose. I'd been drinking, and you know, it wasn't particularly terrible, wasn't any worse or any better than any other episode I had had. And I was feeling like I'm never gonna get this, and I had woken up just feeling really awful, as you do. So hungover, and I actually, this isn't live, is it?
No,
I'm just looking. I'm just looking at a giant goanna trying to climb a tree. Anyway, I'll carry on. So, So I was feeling pretty awful, and I was lying there in bed thinking to myself, if you don't stop this, you're going to die. And then this voice said, what if you don't? What if you don't die? What if you just go on and on and on and on forever? And I thought, oh, that'd be pretty awful. And then, you know, the conversation starts with the voice, and I say, yeah, but, you know, what am I going to do at my next, at my birthday? My birthday's coming up in March. How am I going to have a birthday without alcohol? And the voice says to me, if you're still drinking at your next birthday, it's going to be just as awful as the last one and the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. And I said, oh, yeah, but what about Christmas and New Year? So, right, this is the 6th of January, so I'm already thinking about next year. And the voice said, sweetie, if you're still drinking next Christmas and next New Year, it's going to be just as awful as the last one and the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. You know, I hadn't spent Christmas with my family for years at this point. And then I said, oh, because I was single, unsurprisingly. I said to the voice, well, how am I going to, like, go out and meet somebody? And the voice said, oh, sweetie, you're already scraping the bottom of that barrel. There's nobody nice for you in this condition.
Yeah.
And it was like this real... And then the voice just said, you're done. It's over. You can never drink safely again. And pretty much I had that white light experience. I felt this sense of calm came over me, this sense that I was very safe. It was a really you know, I had been overwhelmed with that feeling of impending doom, and all of a sudden I felt very safe. I felt very protected. And the compulsion to drink me left, and I never drank again.
Wow. And you've remained active in the program?
I've remained active in the, you know, of course I did all the things.
Yeah.
You know, I did all of the things. I actually was in New Zealand at the time, and I came back to Australia about 6 weeks later and, you know, joined a home group, got a sponsor, got a position in the home group, 90 meetings in 90 days. And when that was up, I did it again. Like, I did all of the things.
Right.
However, you know, as time went on, I came to see that, you know, the program alone, my willpower alone, I suppose, and not necessarily the answer, because, you know, then it came time to quit smoking. I didn't have the same experience.
Right.
You know, over the years I've tried to quit sugar. I don't have the same experience. And I mean, eventually I
can't quite control when it comes and when it doesn't. So
right.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast, Kim, is that you describe yourself as an atheist. I like
yes.
that. Maybe not a very good atheist, but you're an atheist. So
yeah, I'm.
I want to know, how has that been for you on your own spiritual journey?
Yeah, so originally, you know, I was really open to the idea that there was some God, because something extraordinary definitely happened to me. Like, it was perfectly believe. I suppose it was plausible. I was willing to believe that there was a God. But what happened is I was still very caught in that idea that God, you know, issued prizes based on how good you were. So in early sobriety, it was kind of easy to feel like I was being rewarded, because I was doing all of the things, going to meetings, working the steps as they're written in the big book, you know, being a good girl. And the rewards came pretty hard and fast. You know, I got my driver's license. I got a great job. I got an apartment. My family were talking to me. You know, eventually I got a partner and we had a beautiful child. So it was kind of easy to think, I am being rewarded by God for being good, which was sort of what I had grown up believing, which is why I didn't really believe in God, because I thought God was only reserved for good people. So what happened with this sort of like, you get a prize, you get a prize, you get a prize kind of belief system around God is that when I experienced hardship, that no longer made sense. So when I saw hardship happening for other people, good people, that didn't make sense.
Yes.
When I saw good things happening for bad people, that didn't make sense. So eventually I was kind of faking my belief in something that I really didn't believe in. I don't believe in a religious version of God, and sort of never did, no offense. I never kind of...
I had my struggle too, so...
You know, I never believed that Mary was a virgin.
Right.
I never believed that Jesus was dead for 3 days. Never, never, never in my entire life.
Right.
Doesn't make any... There is no repeatable evidence that that ever happened to anybody else. So that's kind of, you know, I was really dismissive of all of that sort of thing. So
the traditional religious beliefs that you had been raised with, you were rejecting those. Those did not work for you.
No.
Right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really... and also I was really struggling with this whole, you know, you hear in AA a lot of, you can believe anything you want, you know, God can be a doorknob or a tram or whatever. You can believe whatever you like, but it better be God. you know, anything you like, anything at all, but it better be God. Or you can believe that for now, that's adorable, but eventually you'll come to see that it's God. And it just didn't feel true for me ever. And so I was kind of going along sort of faking my belief in that stuff, but it just never felt true. So whenever I had a crisis, I was left flailing without anything that made sense to me, because I've been really good. So where is God now?
Right.
And, you know, look at the sacrifices I've made. There's no God here. Like, I am such a good person. It's ridiculous. And so why am I suffering? And, you know, I started to, I had a nervous breakdown at 13 years sober, and I was really stuck there. And in that nervous breakdown, I was introduced to another 12-step program, Adult Children of Alcoholics.
Yes.
Life changing. This whole, you know, I was introduced to the concept of, you know, the inner child and the inner loving parent and the inner critical parent. And this was sort of a real life-changing experience for me, and it kind of reconnected me as well with some of my earlier Buddhist beliefs, which, you know, I love Buddhists because they don't believe in God. So so it changed the way I meditated. And then 6 months ago, a friend of mine who's also an atheist said, "Kim, I think you should listen to this guy, Father Bill W. He's a priest, but don't be put off by that. He does this thing called two-way prayer. I think you will love it." And so because my friend who's an atheist suggested it, I was really open to it. And I listened, and pretty much right away I was like, oh, this is like having, learning to, you know, that conversation you have, your inner child and inner loving parent. And then I started listening to your podcast. And, you know, what this did for me actually is it really cemented my not belief in God, but my real belief in that inner, you know, it says in the Big Book, it says, you know, deep down inside, every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. I'm like, that's where it is. Like, that's where it is. And that's where I feel it. And that's where I hear it. And the voice isn't God's. It's my voice. It's a smarter version of my voice, but it's certainly mine.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I want to talk for just a minute about Carl Jung. I think you've read some of his work and are attracted to some of that way of looking at things. Jung was a scientist. He said, "Well, I can't really talk to you about God, that I don't know anything about God, you know, per se." But he had a term that he called the self, with a S, and it's like we experience ourselves with a small s. But inside of us is a different self. And, you know, when you sent me the email and you were having this conversation with yourself, I simply translate that into, you know, Kim is having a conversation with her higher self. And
the
higher self did not want to see you killing yourself.
Correct.
Because you would do her in too, which is not good, you know. And I think the way this concept of Jung's goes, this inner higher self, is that it is not just my ego, but my potential. My potential, and so therefore the all of the things that haven't happened, what could and perhaps and need to. And it's sort of like pulling us onward, you know, almost in spite of ourselves. I was suicidal, you know, in early recovery, and I wanted to kill myself. Well, the question for me became, which self? You know?
Correct.
No.
Correct.
Yeah. And the inner child stuff is really wonderful. I certainly wouldn't want to kill my inner child, because he is beautiful and innocent and sweet, and he is the best part of me, just like yours is the best part of you. You know?
Correct.
Yeah, and you want to relate to that. There's a, you know, there was a professor at Harvard, short story here, who he had to teach a course on theology, and it was a big class every year. You'd get 300 or 400 people, kids, and he'd say at the beginning of the course, "How many people in here believe in God?" And half the hands would go up, and how many don't? The other half would go up. He said, "I have an assignment for you. For the ones who don't believe, I would like if you would stop by my office sometime during the term and tell me about the God you don't believe in."
Mm.
Describe the God you don't believe in. And invariably, what he would always wind up saying to the kids who did that was, "Well, I don't believe in that either. I wish the program had said, rather than God as we understand God, I wish it had said God as we don't understand God." Because what I'm describing was like the great reality is within. And that's true. And for me, that is who God is, the great reality.
Mm.
Within, without, and then some. That's the way I would describe it. But I don't understand God. And I wasted an awful lot of time in AA thinking that I had to. That's a real misrepresentation of what the whole Oxford group thing was. They had an expression, turn as much of yourself as you understand over to as much of God as you understand. And what they really meant by that is, and kid, you don't understand either one.
Mm.
We don't understand ourselves. We don't understand God. At least the Jews have the wisdom to not even say the word. It's, you know, it's so sacred, so holy. But, you know, if I ask people, do you believe in the holy? Do you believe in something sacred in life? In my God, I'm looking at you right now. You're in a nature preserve there. You know?
I am. This is where I work.
And I'll bet you when you are there, you are in connection with something.
Absolutely. I think, you know, having this sort of realization that, you know, whatever it is, the power is something inside of myself. And, you know, whether I hear it as that loving parent's voice, you know, what it does is it really gives me conscious contact. Before I wasn't really having any conscious contact because I was sort of praying kind of vaguely to some, you know, mystical, magical concept of something that was outside of myself.
Right.
So it might have been conscious prayer, but there was no contact because there was nothing, I wasn't making contact with anything, you know, other than just a really vague, abstract sort of concept. So whereas in this process, you know, with that conversation that I experience, it's conscious and it's contact because it's a two-way process, which is, you know, that's what the two-way prayer is. It's a two-way process. It's a conversation.
Yes, yes. With the most loving part of you, whatever that is.
Yes.
That wants the best for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
And in the process of, you know, learning how to do this two-way prayer, what has happened is that inner loving voice has become, you know, I've become really conscious of it. I hear it all the time. I can go to it very quickly if I need some support throughout my day. And that critical voice that maybe people call it, you know, my disease talking to me or whatever, that critical, you know, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? Who are you kidding? It's really quiet. It's really hardly evident at all now. So, you know, that's a, you know, what a blessing that is.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm so happy to know that, and then just, so I have a confession to make. I am a priest, so let me confess. Here I go. I really have an easier time talking with people who, you know, who have their doubts, their disbeliefs. The hardest people I have to talk to are people who think they know. They think they know. You know, and I think that's one of the things that really turns so many people off from faith and religion and that sort of thing. It's like, well, we have the answer, you know. Well, no, they don't, you know. they have some directions and a lot of experience, but answers, I don't know. I don't know about that. I had a kid, you know, I really loved the kid. He was always in trouble. He came to see me in the office. I was the treatment director. And he said, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe any of this crap. You know, it's very, very, very forthright and honest. And I said, well, tell me what you do believe in, you know? And he said, well, it's kind of like the Force. You remember the movie Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you're sensitive, to the great reality, you know when there's a disturbance in the Force. You know when something is blocking you from being in right relationship with the Force. And it's that sensitivity. To me, that's what spirituality is. It's our ability to connect, with that which is beyond us, you know, as well as to connect with those who are around us and to connect with that which is my true self inside. You know, it's joining. It's like joining. So to me, that's where spirituality leads me. But I'm so delighted to know that two-way prayer is working for you, and you're doing some of the inner child work. You know, it was wonderful when you read or said what God had first said to you almost 20 years ago. He said, "Sweetie," if I heard you right.
Sweetie,
that's a term of endearment.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that she said "sweetie" because it's my voice. Like it, I don't hear it.
Right, that's right.
You know, she said, "Oh, sweetie," like, yeah, absolutely. It was complete, and that's why it was like a very clear two-way conversation. It was not me just reflecting or ruminating or giving myself a little pep talk. It was not like that at all. It was a very clear conversation with two very distinct voices, and one was really childish and self-obsessed, and the other voice was really kind and smart and gentle and loving. And you know, certainly at that point,
wisdom, would you say, an inner wisdom?
Oh, an inner wisdom completely.
And loving.
Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful. And now, what was the sound in that we're hearing in the background? You said the name, but I didn't know what it is.
The sound?
Yes, there's an animal, a bird or something.
It was a goanna. It was a lace monitor. So it's a lizard. It's about 2 meters long.
And it's singing or it's talking or what's it doing?
Oh, no, that's a different bird. I think that's just a crow, actually.
Oh, a crow. That's not.
Yeah.
Got it. You're going to have to do better than that, Kim. We have crows. Mm.
Yeah. There's a couple of other birds I can hear, but the noisy crow is dominating the.
All right.
It's probably having a carry on about the lizard. So, as they do.
Well, listen, I want to really thank you for taking the time to visit and to share with us on your spiritual journey. I think it's going to help a lot of people who struggle with the concept of two-way prayer, and you've made it really come alive.
Thank you. And I want to just quickly tell you this very funny story. And this is sort of goes back to this whole thing that people in AA do, you know, believe whatever you like, but it better be God. On the weekend, I was at like a women's retreat, you know, AA retreat. And I shared at the end that I didn't believe in God and a little bit about my story. And after the meeting was over, they had a raffle prize. So, you know, it was like, you know, you bought raffle tickets at the start of the weekend, and then there were prizes on offer, and I won a cheese board. So, and the funny story is when I arrived and purchased the raffle ticket, and you could look at the prizes then, and I went, oh, that cheese board's nice. I need a new cheese board. And that's what I won. And then three separate women came up to me after the meeting and said, "See, Kim, you're wrong. God does exist. You won the cheese board."
Yeah.
And you know, it was that you get a prize
you get
kind of mentality. Yeah. And I really, I mean, I just sort of laughed it off, but, you know, it still exists. And I do hope that, you know, we start to see a little less of that in recovery and a little more of, believe whatever you need to.
Yeah, believe what is love inside of you speaking.
Mm.
You know, I do love the Buddhists because their focus is on compassion.
In every way, for ourselves and for others. And it's certainly taught me a lot about myself and others.
Yes.
And also really taught me that I am responsible for my suffering. So,
you know, in my, I'm on the other side of the God thing, you know, but my concept of God is that he or she or it is with us in the suffering, suffering right along with. You know, and has great compassion for those who don't win the cheese board thing, you know? More than with the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, listen, I want to thank you again for being willing to share a part of your spiritual journey with us. And gosh, if I ever, what part of Australia are you in, if I might ask?
I'm in Brisbane in Queensland, so it's, you know, always warm and sunny.
Beautiful. Some wonderful AA down there. I was honored to speak at the National AA convention recently, and just some terrific, terrific folks. I was just blown away by the love, the kindness, and the depth of spirituality. Not the phony kind, the real kind, the connecting kind. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, my dear.
Thank you so much. Have a great day or great evening. I'm going to try and jump on your workshop on the 14th of December, but I will have to get up at 2 a.m., so I'm going to try.
Hey, I'll send you the recording. Don't do that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you.
So I want to thank Kim one more time for sharing her experience, strength, and hope with us. Has a beautiful story and comes from a really beautiful land down there. So just a reminder, if you are enjoying these podcasts, please drop me a line and sign up for our newsletter. You can reach me at twoprayer@gmail.com. And if you're able to help us out. We want to film some responses, reactions to people who are doing two-way prayer. And we're going to do that on the 26th of December. Again, if you're under age 40 or anywhere near that, drop me a line, same address, and we'll get back to you and try to have some fun with that. So thank you for listening. God bless. Keep coming back.